Today is February 7th, 2002. Sarah Lawrence is interviewing Mrs. Lorraine Page at her home in Esmont, Virginia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can you state for the record your full name, please?
Lorraine Virginia Bolden Page.
Okay. How do you spell Bolden?
B-O-L-D-E-N. That's okay. My maiden name.
Okay. And Page is spelled?
P-A-I-G-E.
Ah, okay. When and where were you born?
I was born in Esmont, Virginia.
Alrighty.
On April the 5th, 1936.
Okay. And do you remember your grandparents' names? I mean, not their names, but where they were born. Of course you remember their names.
To my knowledge, my father's parents were born in Esmont.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother's parents were born in Blenheim, Virginia, which is just off of Monticello Mountain that way.
Okay. And what were their names?
My father's mother was named Octavia Gardner.
Okay.
Bolden. Mm-hmm. And my father's father was John Edward Bolden.
All right.
My mother's mother was named Eloise Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And her father was John Lee Jones.
Okay. And Eloise was spelled E-L-O-I-S-E?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And where were they born?
Blenheim.
Oh, that's right.
B-L-E-N-H-E-I-M.
H-E-I-M. Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you remember when they were born?
Not really.
Yeah, okay. What about your parents?
I have records somewhere you know, I could look up, but
okay.
I don't remember.
Okay.
My parents, yes. My mother, of course, was born in Blenheim.
Mm-hmm.
And her birthday was August 18th, 1906.
Okay.
And my father was born in Esmont. And he was born on December 2nd, 1901.
Okay. And he was born here and raised here?
In Esmont.
Okay. And you grew up here?
I grew up here.
Okay. How'd your parents meet?
I think through a cousin. Actually, my father and his sister married two first cousins.
Oh.
And I think they were married first and got introduced.
Okay. All right. What are some of your earliest memories of Esmont? Or life at home in Esmont, I guess. I mean, perhaps not the town itself yet, but...
But, oh, my earliest memories, I guess... I don't remember when we moved into our home, but I remember being there when it wasn't finished with my brother and sister and mother and father, which is just two doors down from me. And just being there on the farm with all the animals. And my father was a farmer.
Okay.
And I guess my earliest memories are just being there with...
Yeah.
Having all the animals and being able to go outdoors, ride the horses, do whatever. Even as a little girl.
Really? How old do you think you were before you started riding?
I'm sure my father had me on the horse from the beginning.
Yeah.
He had to hold me. So I guess I remember really riding like 3-4 years old.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Did you have farm-related chores?
Yes, no. Being the youngest of three children, I did get a lot of them, but yeah, feeding the chickens and that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
My father always took care of the livestock until my brother was older to help.
Uh-huh.
But the little animals, yes, we fed.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being able to have a pet lamb that we raised from a bottle and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. 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 Who your brother and sister, what were their names?
My brother's name is John Russell Bolden.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister is Muriel, M-U-R-I-E-L.
Mm-hmm.
Callista, C-A-L-I-S-T-A. Bolden Carty, C-A-R-T-Y.
T-Y?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Russell was with one L? Or two L's at the end?
Two L's.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So your parents were the only other people in the ministry. Your parents and your sisters and brothers, or just one sister and brother?
One sister and one brother.
And anybody else live with you at any point in your upbringing?
No, not me.
Mm-hmm.
I hear earlier my parents were in New Jersey for a few years.
Hmm.
And at that point, my aunt and her daughter lived with them.
Mm.
But that was before my time.
Mm-hmm. What took them to New Jersey?
Work. My father was also a painter.
Ah.
And some of the his friends and all from here that had gone to New Jersey asked him to come paint. So
yeah,
that was just, I guess, before the Depression, leading into the Depression. So he decided to go and, you know, do some work. So he moved his family to New Jersey. Mm. And I think my understanding was they moved back here the year before I was born.
Mm. So he had given up the farm to go to New Jersey?
At that point,
okay.
Yes.
When did your parents get married?
Roughly.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe 29. My sister was born. Must be 27.
Mm-hmm.
1927.
Mm-hmm. And how much older are your brother and sister?
My brother's 5 years older than I am. Mm-hmm. My sister is 6 years older than I am.
Okay. So you were the baby.
There was one child was died at birth. Younger than her.
Okay. How soon did he or she come after you?
I think it was like 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
After.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So your dad was a farmer.
And a painter.
In Esmont. Okay. And a painter. Because that was actually quite a few years, it sounds like, that he was up in New Jersey painting.
Well, probably 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But when he came, when he lives here, he farmed in the spring and summer and painted during the winter.
Hmm. Because everything, who took care of the farm in the winter?
Well, he did his livestock and stuff and then went to work.
Okay.
You know.
Else, close to Esmont? Or
mostly
to
in Esmont.
Ah, okay.
Sometime in Charlotte.
Okay.
I was
thinking,
so,
how
mostly
do you travel to New Jersey? Okay.
Oh, no.
I see.
Locally.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Locally. And your brother helped him eventually on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Did he hire any other people to work the farm?
At times.
Mm-hmm.
During hay season and, you know, he hired other people.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever stay with you or were they local?
Oh, they were local.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They stayed with us.
Okay. And what did your mother do?
Housewife, mainly. Mm-hmm. There were a few times in my life I remember working locally for private families.
Mm. Domestic work?
Domestic work,
mm-hmm.
But very rarely. Mostly she was a housewife.
When did she go to do that? Was it? What was the reason she would go and occasionally work?
Somebody would ask her, sought her, you know. And she would go out for a while, maybe to buy something for the home or something that nature.
So not to come every day to clean the house all day?
Every day.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
But during my growing up time, she was always at home.
Yeah. Did you ever go with her on those errands or go with her to people's homes?
No.
Okay.
Because when I was that age, I was old enough that my sister was home because she was older, or I was old enough as a teenager myself to be at home.
Okay. Did you go to school here?
Yes, I did.
At the Esmont School?
Esmont.
Okay.
And at that, it was an Esmont High School.
Uh-huh. And can you remember any teachers who left an impression on you?
Oh, yeah, there were a lot of teachers. First grade teacher, I think, Mrs. Southall.
Uh-huh.
Probably left an impression on most of us.
Oh, yeah? How so?
Oh, she was just a grand old lady, you know, sort of. And I guess we had a first and second grade because at that point, we had like 2 or 3 grades sometimes in one room. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I remember her as the first and second. Mm-hmm. And that stage, we went like half a day. Mm-hmm. The first grade went in the morning, and the second grade went in the afternoon. Hmm.
Can you describe her a little more?
She was sort of a small lady. Mm-hmm. Not a heavy voice, but a enforceful voice, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And very good with children, you know, very energetic mm-hmm. type of lady, I remember.
Did she run a tight ship?
No, I didn't think she did. Mm-hmm. Some did, but I didn't think she did. Mm-hmm. I think she was just a kind mm-hmm. lady that loved teaching, mm-hmm. as a lot of our teachers, everyone that's going up feathering school and having some that we had 2 and 3 classes to a room, so you would have to assign one class to do something and teach another one, mm-hmm. which all the time was kind of hard sometimes yeah. because you're listening to something, trying to
yeah.
do something.
Yeah.
But we came out okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I did my last 2 years of high school at Burley in Charlottesville.
Okay. What were some of the other activities at school that you did besides working and studying? Did you have other?
Oh, we had recess, of course, mm-hmm. and baseball games and mm-hmm. all kind of relays, because at that time it was 2 black schools, especially when we got into the upper grades, uh-huh. Almar Training School at Esmont, and so you always did things to relay to them, and you had a big, what we call a field day, mm-hmm. that they either came to us or we went to them, mm-hmm. or we went to Washington Park and played the games.
Okay.
So there were always relays. The other thing was a big thing out here, that each spring we did have mm-hmm. a field day, even among ourselves.
Many different sports?
Many different sports, okay. from a maypole rapping to mm-hmm. flag relay to mm-hmm. a baseball game.
Mm-hmm. And did the girls do this as well as the boys?
Yes, with softball, of mm-hmm. course, for the girls mm-hmm. at that point, and mm-hmm. baseball for the boys.
Mm-hmm.
But and there were many activities going on. Mm-hmm. Our parents were very involved with the PTO and mm-hmm. things of that nature, because if they hadn't, we wouldn't have had too much in school. So they had to really support the school in order for us to have different things and different activities at school.
You mean financially?
Financially.
Mm-hmm.
Because originally, this area bought the land for the school and all.
Mm-hmm.
So
you weren't getting help.
We weren't getting help.
No. How active were the parents in the curriculum and these activities? I mean, aside from the financial aspect.
You mean on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, or these PTO meetings.
Well, PTO meetings, they were very active mm-hmm. because they were always held at night, because mm-hmm. so many of them did work.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they walked to them. They didn't mm-hmm. have a lot of automobiles mm-hmm. when I first remember. So.
Mm-hmm.
So they were very active in all of that, in field days and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes on a day-to-day basis of so forth, going to the school for mm-hmm. things, they weren't as active as some parents are now, because mm-hmm. well, a lot of them couldn't be active. They were working.
Yeah.
The other thing, some of them didn't know how to be active.
Hmm.
So for assisting with the reading and stuff.
Right.
I was very fortunate. My father was very academic minded.
Hmm.
And although being born there as a man back then, most of black men did not attend school that much.
In your father's generation?
In my father's generation.
Beyond the point where they could work.
Right.
And but that was different with the women?
Well, yes. You know,
why
they didn't put
was?
The women out to work as soon as yeah. they did the men.
Yeah.
That I'm told about
right.
anyway. But my grandfather did not believe that. He wanted his children to have education.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So my father went through the 9th grade, and that's mm-hmm. at that time that was all possible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he did graduate, and as long as we were in school, he could always outdo us in math. Any problems?
Did he help you with your homework then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Always.
Mm. What time did he finish his work on the farm?
Well, anytime after dark. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime after dark.
Right.
When he had his horses into the stables and all prepared for the night, then he was in.
Who did most of the, if any, disciplining in your family?
Both my parents. Mm-hmm. I guess my mother, because she was around more. And, so.
Yeah. Do you feel like they both made decisions together about the family budget or decisions regarding you kids, or did one of them take the lead more?
I don't think so. I think it was made together.
And how would you describe their relationship together, your parents?
A very good one. My mother died first, but my father never remarried. I can grew up in a very loving home.
Right. What else here? You've talked about the athletic dimension to school. Were there any social clubs that you belonged to?
Not really out here at the time. There were social clubs within school. Everything was based on going to school and coming home.
And church?
Church was always a part of our lives. As long as I can remember. Sunday school, Baptist Training Union, and church was a must on Sunday.
What was Baptist Training Union?
That was an evening program for, they used to say for youth, but everybody. And it was classes just for Bible discussion. Sort of like Sunday school, but didn't have that book that you really taught out from Sunday to Sunday. But sort of discussions.
And adults went too?
Yes.
So you had the whole community, or a large part of the community there. Were there any fervent debates that happened?
At times. At times.
Do you remember any of them?
Not right offhand.
Yeah, but
there were a lot.
Did you have other relatives who lived in Esmont?
Oh, yes. Lots of them.
Lots of them.
Lots of
them. Want to just start naming them? Let's get the spelling for now.
Of course, my grandfather lived next door to us.
Okay.
And,
let's just tell, your house right here is 6751 Portis Road. So two houses down is where you grew up, which was 675.
But, of course, it wasn't named
then. Right, that's right. Okay, but we'll just talk about, we're heading south down the road.
Okay, we're heading south down. Well, the next driveway down would have been my grandfather's.
Okay. Was that cattle guard?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the home place there, where my father grew up. So my driveway to my home would have been the next one. About, just get one driveway up with a set of gardeners still on the side of the road.
Hedda?
No, it was Hattie. Oh,
okay.
Hattie and Kenton Gardner.
Okay. Who were they?
And they were aunts. Okay. Well, great aunts of mine. Aunts, aunt and uncle of my father and their children. And there were a lot of houses, like if you went another driveway back down off the road. I had more cousins that were Nelsons. And because my background family is a three-part family, because my grandmother remarried.
Okay.
So Nelsons and Boldens were were her children. She had five Boldens and 11 Nelsons, I think.
Oh, boy.
And she lived to be quite an old lady.
All right.
And good health.
Uh-huh.
Actually the whole area of Esmond, there were cousins all over. There were Scots down the road on the other end, and the Robinsons, and so we grew up with family and friends.
Right. And how often did you see family and friends? Like, what was the social life at your house like?
Oh, great social life in my house. Mm-hmm. They were in and out all the time. Mm-hmm. You know.
The house you grew up in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would they, drop by? Or
they would drop by. My cousin and I, sort of after school, it was a rule that later on when my mother was working, his mother worked, mm-hmm. he came to my house usually mm-hmm. a lot.
What was his name?
Ted Gardner.
Okay.
We interviewed him. Yeah, mm-hmm. Ted Gardner. Mm-hmm. But we were together a lot mm-hmm. because said his mother was working most of the time. We'd drop our books. He'd drop his books off at home and come on over to mm-hmm. the house and stay until his mother came home. Mm-hmm. Well, my friends across the road, the Ward sisters, mm-hmm. Lux Ward, I think you've mm-hmm. interviewed mm-hmm. some of them. You know, we played back and forth together.
Yeah.
And from first one house to the other. Our parents allowed us sometime on Friday or Saturday evening, invite the neighborhood kids in to play records, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. dance and stuff.
Could you do that alone? I mean, were your parents there? Or?
Oh, no, they were always home.
Okay, they were always home.
They were always home.
Okay. Yes. Was there a different room you could go in, or did you stay in the living room?
They let us go in the living room mm-hmm. and do it, but they mm-hmm. were circling around mm-hmm. through the house. Mm-hmm. It was never
open thing.
And whoever house we've ever been at doing that, mm-hmm. parents were always home.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Not like today.
Not like today, no. No, they would never allow you to do that. And most of the time, you would have never allowed to have friends in if mm-hmm. someone wasn't home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a rule.
Right. Mm-hmm. What other kinds of play, when you were a little younger, before the parties, what other kinds of play did you
do? Imaginary things. We had playhouses. We had them at school. Mm-hmm. We had them at home.
Mm-hmm.
Because our school was surrounded by woods, so we had them at school, uh-huh. too. But at home, our house, it's a big two-story house, so underneath the house, you can walk. As children, we could walk under.
Uh-huh.
And so we built a playhouse underneath uh-huh. it.
Uh-huh.
And took Daddy's boards and all and boarded up around uh-huh. the house. And took a lot of furniture and boxes and whatever uh-huh. at the house and put underneath it.
Uh-huh.
And in the summer, I had two cousins that always came from New York to spend the summer with my grandfather.
Alone?
No, with their mother.
Okay.
And down between my father's house and my grandfather, there's a row, a fence, and a row of what we call Laura's. And they sort of met. And my cousin and I made a playhouse in that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to always remember at the opening at night to put up a rail or else the horses would go in if they were out in the fields.
Huh. Go into your playhouse
yes.
and ruin it.
Yeah. Well, no, they just walked through uh-huh. it, you know. But
but it was your house.
Yeah, it was our house. So we had to remember Daddy put up a rail uh-huh. for us to uh-huh. take down and put up at night. And they would go in, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And with the friends coming back, I said we weren't playing with that. We mm-hmm. played marbles, mm-hmm. shooting marbles. Mm-hmm. Tag was mm-hmm. another good game we played a lot.
Mm-hmm.
My friends and I used to make little mud dolls and all mm-hmm. kind of families and
mm-hmm,
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you mix up the mud and put it in the sun and let it dry.
Hmm. And they so didn't break.
Yeah, they did.
Depending on how hard you played.
But, you know, it was fun when you were doing it, you know, and various things. So there were a lot of good games, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Hide and seek and mm-hmm. all that. And slow kids.
Okay. Now, back to what you were kind of getting at a little bit, parental supervision and stuff. Dating. What was the dating life like here, if any? I mean, in terms of going out with groups of friends outside the home or a boyfriend?
There were groups by the time I got to that age
mm-hmm.
when my, you know, the cars were a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. And what age were you allowed to go on a date?
Well, we were allowed to go in groups, I mm-hmm. guess, you mm-hmm. know, especially once we started Burley
mm-hmm.
when I was 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
because we had needed to go to activities so we could get in groups and go.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember my sister and my cousin Ted and I always tagged along, you mm-hmm. know. But down the road, they had there was a store that had a, well, it wasn't really a restaurant, but it had a little booth in there, and it had a piccolo.
Mm-hmm.
They used to dance by then.
What's a piccolo?
It's a big music machine. It has records in it, and you put money in it,
okay.
and it plays.
Okay. Like a jukebox?
Jukebox.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We used to call them piccolos,
all right.
but it's a jukebox.
Okay.
And my sister and her friends, they were all out to get in a group and go down there
mm-hmm.
and, you know, dance
yeah.
a while.
Yeah.
And then
what was
walk
the name
home.
Of that store?
It was Thomas's store.
Thomas's store.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they walked there.
They walked there
yeah.
as a group, and, yeah. you know, you'd have so long to stay, you should be home by
uh-huh.
this time.
Uh-huh.
So the whole gang would get together like we did for school.
Uh-huh.
And you pick up everybody as you go down the road.
Okay.
And they would go down there and dance a while and then all walk back.
Okay.
That was another pleasant memory I have of when I was young, that in the winter, you know, being able to get out and sled and do all of this, almost in the roads,
mm-hmm.
because there were no cars.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they used to, you know, get together, especially on a cold day, or if it was snowing and the teachers couldn't get from Charlottesville,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and maybe, you know, walk down there
mm-hmm.
and do...
Get a little hot chocolate.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, dance them all with the jukebox, etc.
Any favorite tunes you remember?
Not particularly.
No.
Oh.
Okay. Who was the school principal at the time you were
When I went
there?
To school,
yeah.
it was Isaac Faulkner.
Okay. Isaac?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then at Burley?
At Burley, when I first went, it was a Mr. Mobley, M-O-B-L-E-Y.
M-O-B?
Mm-hmm.
L-E-Y, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember his first name? That doesn't matter.
No, I don't.
How was the change from going to the Esmont School to Burley?
Not good.
Not good?
Not good.
Why?
We lost a lot. Well, not... for one thing, I think we, in this area, Southern Alma County has always classified as the poor underlying area.
Mm-hmm.
The other black high school was the other side of Charlottesville. And of course, we got the people from Charlottesville, which were considered the city children from
mm-hmm.
Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
So at first it was very hard, you know. Here you are thrown in with these children. I, in particular, got into classes that I saw no one from my area at first.
Hmm.
And
why would that have been?
Just, I don't know, except for the classes I was taking, for one
okay.
thing.
Okay.
And,
Were you taking more advanced classes?
I was.
Okay.
And at first it was very hard. They did not want to make friends. They did not want to be there with us. You know, they wanted to stay in their nice little city school. Or they went to school and they didn't want the country kids there. Or, you know.
How did they make you feel that way?
Oh, by saying things and almost just completely ignoring you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, I mean, it was an adjustment
mm-hmm.
for all of us. And now I know why, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they were used to so much more in their school than we were and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the school being in Charlottesville, it was more or less considered their school.
Mm-hmm.
They also had many more children coming than we did.
Mm-hmm.
But... it wasn't a bad adjustment. I mean, we lived with it, and it was fine.
Did you eventually become friends with some of those?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still have good friends from
But at the time, did
at
you?
At the time. And, well, it took a few months.
Yeah, yeah. But so were there differences, visible differences in clothing styles and, like, accent? I mean, really sharp country versus city or class?
Some. But not as much as they thought it would be. I think mm-hmm. they were looking for that big contrast in us. That we probably didn't have clothes and we probably couldn't do things.
Right. They had and this stage.
They had been exposed to, of course, more than we had.
Mm-hmm.
But not other things. I mean, our parents, especially in this town, I can only, worked very hard to keep their kids, you know, dressed properly. Clean, if nothing else. I was very fortunate. My mother sewed.
Mm.
And we could show her anything in the catalog, and mm-hmm. she could make it. So.
Did she ever make clothes for other families?
Yes, she did. She sewed for other families too at times. But she made all our clothes, and I had an aunt in Washington that worked. Well, she worked for the government PX, they called it, where the wax, the waves, they had them separate in the women.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the old uniforms and stuff she brought down, my mother ripped them up and remade clothes for
wow.
us.
Huh.
And at that time in our lives, fabric was cheap, so you could take a nice piece of fabric and really make something nice
mm-hmm.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
she made most of your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
What other kind of, where else did you shop? Through catalogs, or did you and your family go to Charlottesville for general things, or
We shopped through catalogs, Sears and Montgomery Ward mm-hmm. were our main ones. There was a trip to Charlottesville every once in a while, not frequently, mm-hmm. but, you mm-hmm. know, every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had local doctors, so we did not need to go.
Mm-hmm.
There was one in Esmont, there was one in Statsville.
Mm-hmm.
So we did not need to go to Charlottesville, mm-hmm. unless you needed to go to the hospital for something,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which was a rare occasion, because mm-hmm. they did most things at home.
Mm-hmm.
There was also sort of a general store, you called it, in Esmond, and it was called Steed's Store.
Steed's?
Uh-huh.
S-T-E-E-D-S.
And they sold a little bit of everything.
Uh-huh. Was that a white-owned or black-owned?
It was white-owned.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But he sold fabrics and shoes and as well as grocery line
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the shopping was done there.
Mm-hmm. Was the owner of Thomas's, was it? Was
that
he or
was
she?
Black
too? Oh, or black, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can you remember any incidents, or can you discuss a little bit segregated life in Esmont when you were growing up? And
well, at the time, I guess we never thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we lived in a black community, per se.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everything was black. So
everything?
I mean,
were there a couple white
here.
Families or no?
Not in here at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, there
okay.
are. Oh.
Okay, okay.
But when I grew up,
oh.
there were no white families until you hit right here.
Okay. Whatever this crossroad is.
Well, no, you didn't have to go to the crossroad. Right across from me here
was
a white family.
Okay.
Then you go up that driveway there. And they were always there. But this was all woods. So.
What was their name?
When I was there, when I grew up, it was Mac Williams.
Mr.
and Mrs. Mac Williams.
That's their full name, their last name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, I don't know the first names. I don't remember.
But what were they like?
I don't know that much. You know? You didn't see them. You didn't hear from them. I knew the lady in Esmond that worked for them. I saw very little of that family. There is a house behind that sort of, that, well, there used to be one, I understand, before, but when I really knew about it, belonged to Mrs. Donna Lloyd. And the lady that worked for her, I did know her. And I did work there some as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Serving dinner or just helping with housework, etc. And she was a very nice lady, as long as you did your work. And, the house on the corner up there belonged to Cole's family. And when I grew up, it belonged to Mrs. Lottie Coles, and her daughter Charlotte Coles lived there. Now, we saw them quite often because they at times came down to the church to give out gifts of Bibles and stuff to the students and all. And I understand many, many years ago, before the black families had a school, it was not them, but it was their family, had a little brush harbor, they call it, school up there under the tree at that place.
Before the Esmont School.
Before the Esmont School.
And they taught there. It was white.
I guess they
teachers.
Taught that at that time.
Mm-hmm. So your dad might have.
No. That was before his time, too.
Before his time. Okay.
He started the school. The Esmont School that I went to, of course he went to that school, but he started, there's a house, it's a house now, but it was a school building down a little further from the school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a two-room building that he started the school. And I have a picture, but they're up at the W.D. Ward Center, stand outside, but it's my dad class and young people when he was about 7 years old.
Okay.
That's the first picture we have of school.
So what happened in terms of you said it was an entirely black community pretty much and you just didn't even think about it. Did that change when you went to Burley and saw Charlottesville more?
More of no, because you're still going with all black students.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There were no integration there.
And you didn't go to Charlottesville at lunch, during your lunch break or anything like that?
Oh, no.
You stayed at the school.
We stayed at the school.
Yeah, okay.
There was no going. You weren't allowed off the premises. Once you got off the bus and got into school, you had to have a written excuse even not to get back on that bus in the evening to come home.
Okay.
So it's not like it is now.
Right.
Many students go, no. You went to school. You went to school.
Uh-huh.
But I guess, you know, living in the black community, I mean, I'm not saying we didn't know these white people were there because people in the community worked for them and this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just not communication, really, with them.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, if we really needed a telephone call, we had to go and ask to use one of their phones or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had no telephones.
Okay.
I think the Thomas' store down the road was probably one of the first black families to have a telephone.
Okay.
But for that sort of thing, and I say for the people that worked, and of course, up the road further is the Van Cleef Estate, which a lot of people work for in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Probably employed 20 to 30 people from the community.
Wow. At any one time?
At a time,
gosh.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they probably had 10 or 12 in the house, and then they had farm, and then they had horses, and then you name it. So they had people of all ages and all capacities working.
Mm-hmm.
My father worked his later years as a night watchman for the horses up there. When he had stopped some of his farming and stuff, he night watched. Because they always kept night watching with the horses. But up until then, he had never actually worked for them. He had always worked
that
for himself.
Mm-hmm. So. And he did fairly well?
Yes.
You had horses and...
Yeah, he did, you know, with the farm doing it. And I said he painted during the winter to get the base of the money. So it was fine. My uncle that stayed with my grandfather,
Now, he worked for the Van Cleves as a butler.
Which uncle was that?
Hayes. My uncle Hayes, my father's younger brother.
Okay. And he worked as a butler?
Mm-hmm. And a chauffeur.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Did he have any stories he ever shared?
No, not really. He was sort of quiet. My husband tells more of those because his daddy worked also as a butler.
Oh, do you remember any of those stories?
He was head butler. So he was more or less the one that was really into it. Of course, my husband and I worked for the same family later.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But for their children, not. But,
they're pretty nice family.
Very nice family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I've heard other people talk about that.
Very nice family.
Do you remember? It sounds like you remember lots of your neighbors because they were mostly your relatives.
Mm-hmm.
But do you remember particularly special friends of your parents and who were not relatives, other people you...
Oh, well, our next-door neighbor on the other side was not family members, and it was a Mr. and Mrs. Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one son which was much older than we were, so he was away and we didn't know him. Mm-hmm. So this was just an elderly couple.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember that she, every day, came to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a long visit. She came just to check on everybody and see how everybody was.
How nice.
Uh-huh. And she just dropped. And we just knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And any time it didn't happen, my mother always sent one of us up there because she knew that either she wasn't feeling well or something.
Ah.
But she just came down. Oh, I just came down and coming through the field.
Yeah.
She was always like pick flowers, wild flowers like poppies or Queen Anne's lace.
Mm-hmm.
Or she would, in apple season, she would bring a few apples, although she knew we had apples.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a neighborly thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
And since they didn't have children, it was easier for her to come here.
Right.
Your mom didn't go there as much.
No.
Except when there was that question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And were there ever times where you did go over there and she said, yeah, I'm not feeling well? And
yeah, and if she did, you know, we'd ask, what can we do for you? And my mother said, we'd probably fix something to eat to send them and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very close neighborhood, you know. You can run next door and you can borrow something and you can take it back the next end of the week or something like that if you ran out. You didn't go to the store for every little thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you went to the store, you got your staples or whatever, because we grew all our fresh vegetables and my mother canned and stuff for winter. And we had pork and beef and lamb that my father always killed for food. So it wasn't like going to store every time you wanted something. We had chickens and this type of thing.
Yeah.
And but if you ran out of something during the week when you weren't going to the store, you just went to your neighbor and borrowed it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you carried it back when you got some more. So
did your mom and Mrs. Lewis can together or do any of their things together?
No, not can. Later I remember that there was a cannery, they called it, in Scottsville.
Hmm.
And a lot of times when my mother had like bushels of green beans or bushels of peaches, my father got someone to take her down there to the cannery. And, you know,
machines.
It was machines, and you just put your stuff in, and some way they packed them, you know, and you canned them in cans.
You saved about 1,500 hours of work.
Right. But, most of the time it was done at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It was done at home.
Did you ever help with that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wanted to can. Not that I like to can, but but I do like to make jellies of that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Any of sugar.
I'm not a canner, but I can do it.
Did you have a radio in your home? Or do you remember other people having radios?
I remember that my cousin had one before. We did, but we did eventually have one.
Okay.
I don't remember to start with. I do remember when we first got electric lights.
Ah, when?
Well, I don't remember exactly
the
year, but I was probably 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was a man going through wiring all the houses.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still fussing at my dad's about some of the things, you know, now. You know, you've had to have a rewired. But anyway, I remember that this guy, and his name was Jasper. That's all I can remember. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was the first or the last, but that name stands out with
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would start your house and stop and go to somebody else's and start, like everybody does these days, too. But he finally came back and connected our lights. You know, we had been waiting for this. And my dad was on a painting job. And I can remember Mama saying, go ahead and light the lamps and stuff. Because when he comes home and come in, then we're going to turn on all the lights. And I remember that. For that, you know, that when we got lights.
Yeah. Did you celebrate?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, it was a big thing. Everything was bright in the house and this type of thing.
Yeah.
But, of course, we didn't have heat, you know. Mm-hmm. We'd only had wood and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And remember picking up chips. And
mm-hmm.
we had something in the woods they call light wood. My brother used to split up.
Hmm.
It's a pine, I think it is, and you just put it up and it makes the fire go.
Mm-hmm.
We made lamp lighters out of paper so you wouldn't use so many matches to start fires because you already have fire going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you made the roll a certain way.
Out of what? For the
newspaper.
Lighter.
Oh, newspaper.
Uh-huh. Just a really tightly wound?
Wound. You take a strip and you wound it a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, things like that. I guess I'm thinking of another thing I really enjoyed as a little girl. My father had an ice house.
I've never understood how those work.
Okay, it's a hole dug in the ground.
Uh-huh.
And they had a nice house over it. They built a nice little house. My grandfather was a brick mason, and he believed that his tool shed and his corn house and his stable and his ice house all had to be just so.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an ice pond that's behind the big house down there. And there were much colder winters because the ice would thicken enough for them to cut.
Mm-hmm.
And what they had picks, and they would take the horse and wagon down and cut the ice off the pond and bring it to the bank and load it.
The bank?
The bank.
Oh, the bank.
The pond.
The lake, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you put a load of ice just down in this hole, and then they would haul a load of leaves and keep doing that.
In the hole,
which
is in the house.
In this little house, just a.
Not a little house out in the yard, shelter house.
Mm-hmm. And so that in the summertime you had all the ice you wanted.
And the leaves, did they insulate it or separate the layers?
They separate the layers and insulate.
Okay.
And in so that being that far down in the ground too kept it.
How'd you retrieve the ice from the very bottom?
Well, you could go from the top to the bottom,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But, I mean, someone at the end had to jump in and throw an ice chunk.
They had either steps or ladder down there. And you went down and got it out by the bags.
And you liked that as a little girl?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That play.
And you had, because it was cool in the summer.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And my grandfather and father had put layers in the earth around for shelves where we could put milk and butter and jello and all kind of things in there, as well as bring our ice up to the ice house. So I never remember being without ice.
Yeah. Refrigerator.
Yeah.
Basically.
I mean, yeah.
Did other people have ice houses?
There were a couple around, but we sold a lot of ice to people.
Oh.
People came to buy ice.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we had a truck that came through selling ice.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Every certain days a week.
Uh-huh.
But we also had a lot of customers, too.
Did you sell for cheaper than the truck?
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure they did.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the trucks sold the block ice from the ice companies. Mm-hmm. And so if you put that in your old-fashioned ice boxes, it would last longer because the ales weren't that thick, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we had a lot of customers.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a newspaper or journals or from the outside world? I mean,
yeah, like we did, and I don't remember. I think it was one from Richmond or Charlottesville that came out mm-hmm. at the time. But yeah, my parents did have a newspaper. It's probably like once a week or mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. But it was a newspaper. And then, of course, I said my uncle worked at Van Cleef, so mm-hmm. sometimes they brought papers home of various things because they. People were traveling, they would always pick up papers and uh-huh. have papers, and everybody saved them and passed them around.
Really, in the community?
Mm-hmm. Oh. A lot of times you gave your papers, because the other thing I can remember that when we did start taking the paper on a regular basis, as a teenager, and I think we've probably taken the Richmond Times-Dispatch at that point. Huh. But Ms. Lewis that came down, we saved our paper from the day before to give her, and mm-hmm. she took it home the next day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my mother would always tell us, don't mess the paper up too mm-hmm. much now, Miss mm-hmm. Lewis will be after the paper. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then what we did was divided it with her after she read it. She would bring some of them back because we needed paper to start fires mm-hmm. and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then she kept some of it to start mm-hmm. fires.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Did you have any relatives or friends who lived in Prophet?
No.
No, okay. And did you ever visit Prophet or Scottsville?
Scottsville, but not Prophet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. How often did you visit Scottsville? And for what?
There was also grocery shopping and stores in Scottsville, mm-hmm. but Scottsville was always somewhere. We went to do what we had to do and come out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was.
What does that mean? I feel like there's a subtext there.
Well, Scottsville was just Scottsville. It was a very segregated town, and you didn't want to be there.
Hmm. Especially alone.
Alone mm-hmm. with somebody. So you went for business.
Mm-hmm.
And
with your parents? Did you always go with one of your parents?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. At that point, you would always do. And so my father did go because being a painter, he had to go after supplies. And mm-hmm. W.F. Paulette, he always believed, carried the best paintbrushes there ever were. And so we went for supplies and stuff like that. We went to a feed store down there, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I used to like to go with that because in those days, the feed came in colorful cotton sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted those to make a blouse, you wanted that. So Dad would let me go pick the color I wanted. So that was, you know.
A perk.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And because I stayed with my dad a lot. I liked outside and I liked the farm animals, which my sister didn't. She liked inside.
Uh-huh.
So he never got to do a lot with her.
Uh-huh.
But I stayed with him a lot. Uh-huh. My mother told me once I was going to freeze myself to death. But then I know she made me this beautiful blue wool snowsuit so I wouldn't get cold out there going with him.
So you went out and did chores with him on
the
farm?
Yeah, because he had a horse and buggy too. And like on a real snowy day, a lot of times we'd go, what we call to the mill to get corn and wheat stuff ground, and Daddy liked to do things the old way.
Mm-hmm.
And he had one of these fancy buggies with a top to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we couldn't go to school on a day like that, but he could take the horse out, and we could go to the mill.
Mm-hmm.
And what he would do, we knew it was bad the day before, and he would put bricks on the back of the stove and let them heat all night. And then line the bottom of the buggy with the bricks.
Uh-huh.
So when I put what they call the lap robe over you, the heat would come up so you'd be nice and warm.
Oh, yeah.
And my brother and Dad built a shaped sled. So we used to go around and clean people's paths. They didn't mind the driveway because they had no cars, you know, paths to the house because, and then we loaded up with the kids because the more weight you had on it.
So the sled actually was used to clear the path.
Right.
You didn't even get out. You just used the sled itself.
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
Okay.
You wanted you to sit on it because the weight helped push the snow.
Mm-hmm.
But
and your horse would draw.
Oh, yeah. We had friendly horses.
Okay.
She could do most things with.
Uh-huh.
But going to the mill was a great thing on a real snowy day and get lined. Get nice and warm. Everybody said, "How are you keeping the child warm?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, she's nice and warm, feeling here."
Mm-hmm.
And the bricks would do it.
Did you see other people? Was that a point where you came into contact with a lot of other people from the community at the mill?
No, because not a lot of people were using it then.
Hmm.
Just a few, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said my dad's held on to a lot of the old things for a long time because he didn't like tractors in his garden and things like that. He liked to do it with the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And
which church did you and your family attend?
New Green Mountain.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Baptist.
And were there other community events besides Field Day that you remember?
Yes. One of the other big community thing was they had a club around here called the Progressive Club. And that were farmers and homemakers, et cetera, in the area. And they met like once a month to discuss whatever neighborhood, how to grow this, politics or whatever was a concern. But also they had a big exhibit every fall. And you display it, your canned goods, your vegetables, or even you put your chicken in a cage if you had nice looking to walk your cows down. And all this was judged by an extension agent.
From where?
From Charlottesville.
Okay. Do you remember the name of that agent?
It was... I remember... The first one I remember was a Mr. Greer.
Black or white?
Black.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And any home demonstration agents? They were kind of the female equivalent, right?
Right. At first, we did not have those.
Okay.
No, I don't think they came along until almost my time, because I remember working. I learned to upholstery through one
of
those.
The 40s or something like that, 1940s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, 50s.